How do we continue to create jobs, keep it going? And I've given you one ingredient that I think has to be a part of any consideration of the minimum wage. But as I've indicated, I'm flexible on how that should be accomplished. But I'm not sure that one could make a connection between the minimum wage and more employment. I think you can, if you raise a minimum wage without this differential, I think you will reduce employment. So I think the main thing in the area you're talking about is how do we increase economic opportunity? And maybe there is a way to do it, but I don't think it would be fair to say when you take a pay raise that affects a tiny fraction judges and congressmen, that has a broad economic impact on the country. I've expressed some concern about it, but for other reasons. Yes,
do you agree with Senator Power's testimony, which he doesn't seem to believe that the SDI program as envisioned by President Reagan is likely?
I think I should wait and see a little more what John Tower means. My position has not changed on SDI.
Which is, John Tower has said that he doesn't believe that a large-scale SDI protect the population as envisioned by Reagan.
So before I comment on Tower's testimony, I better read it. If he's talking about a shield so impenetrable that you have no that eliminates the need for any kind of other defense, I probably would agree with that. Certainly short run, but I better cover by waiting until I see what he said. Two standees along.
Thank you. First action taken by your Secretary of State is to order the boarding up of the embassy in Kabul. Does that indicate that this administration, this country, then has no influence with the rebels? They are now fearful of chaos and massacres there. And to what extent did you discuss this with Gorbachev the other day?
Did not discuss it with him the other day. And what it indicates is a prudent policy to protect a handful of American life. And it's a step that other countries have taken in Afghanistan. There is certainly, I think we'd all agree, there is uncertainty about what follows. I'm convinced the Soviets will continue their withdrawal, and well, they should. But it is simply a prudent way in which to protect life. I think we've had meeting after meeting with Afghan rebels, and there's no question in their mind how we feel about, say, a Soviet presence in that country. But I think there's a lot of uncertainty, and there's enough uncertainty that a Secretary of State was taking prudent action in this regard.
What role do you see for the United States after the Soviets withdrew in that country?
Catalytic role for helping bring about stability, hopefully in a government where the people have a lot of say, and it won't be easy. Yeah, Tom.
Mr. President, I'd like to try the pay raise one last time. As you just said, it's not just for members of Congress and not just for federal judges. It's for a lot of senior officials of the government, political appointees. You also have told some reporters in recent days that you're concerned about the long-term pension implications of all these larger salaries. Wouldn't you be happier with a pay raise that's a little bit less rich than 50%?
I don't have that option to get into that now. I think expressed myself in the past on separating out some of these categories, but regrettably, you're never dealing with just the way I would like it to be. And so I'll just leave it at one of my earlier statement, Al.
Sir, this is a thematic question. You've had a week on the job, but you were tougher than you expected. Any surprises, and did you find the notes in your underwear?
No note in the underwear, and it's been a good, easy week, and I expect it'll change dramatically in the days ahead. But my view is if it weren't for the cold, smile and enjoy it while you can, because I can already sense, looking forward to a little more confrontation out there. None particularly, no. And I think one of the reasons is that I've been around here in a different role for 8 years and then in and out on other jobs. So but there's still a wonder of it all. I mean, it still feels different, but not surprises.
Sure. Hey, you already had a follow-up. Nice try. Read it.
the reason he isn't in the cabinet is that I'm tried to reduce down the numbers of full cabinet members. And I think Bill Bennett's time is best spent not worrying about agricultural subsidies, but when we have a meeting on agriculture, but concentrating on drugs. To the greater symbolism that this means, I think it's less important. I'd like to knock that down hard, and I have to do that in substantive ways. Sitting at his side as we meet with his peers at cabinet level, making clear to them that I will be insisting on cooperation as he asks for the support of the Defense Secretary for military assets on interdiction, as he asks for the support of the Education Secretary on certain educational initiatives. But the cabinet rank is there, giving him the standing that I think the job not only requires but demands. And I think the idea of not sitting through cabinet member meetings that have nothing to do with that subject should be the reason that a rationale for having cabinet level but not being in all those meetings. I'm glad he mentioned this, because I think there's been some feeling, well, that means I'm less interested in drugs. That's not right. I'm very interested in the economic statistic, but our chief of economic advisors is not a cabinet member, as he's been designated by previous presidents. Our chief of staff, in whom I have full confidence, is not a cabinet member, but I think we have a very strong chief of staff set up. Over here, way up in the window,
let me just touch on the issue of third world syndrome. There are many experts who are saying that there's any danger for the U.S. economy and how greatly leveraged it is, both in terms of corporate indebtedness and third world debt. They say that the S&L crisis, for example, is simply a systemic feature of this. Do you see this as a real problem that you're going to address aggressively, and what kind of steps to overcome the high proportionality of debt to equity that exists in the U.S. economy?
The question of corporate debt, the role of the White House and the role of the federal government ought to be to do its level best to keep a strong economy. And I don't believe that it's the government role to assign levels beyond which a corporation can't borrow. In terms of third world debt, we do have a responsibility, and a lot of that's going to be working with the private banks and others. And again, that's going to be, we'll have some recommendations. We have to have them pretty soon on that question. I'm not sure I got to the substance of your question. But I don't, separating out these two things.
It also pertains to the reported differences that you have with Alan Greenspan's testimony in Congress earlier this week with regard to interest rates and monetary policy.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think I'm far apart from Chairman Greenspan at all. Far apart. There may be some differences. He is, because of the plant capacity utilization, he is more concerned about inflationary pressures than I am right now. Seems to me there's an area of difference. But basically and generally speaking, I think we're fairly close together, yeah.
Mr. President, by spending your first week dwelling as you have on ethics, aren't you voicing an implicit criticism of the Reagan administration's record, ethical record?
No.
Why else would it be necessary to declare national ethics week, so to speak?
Because I feel strongly about it. No, she's in there first, and then you need to cool off on her. See you now.
In your strong anti-tax stand in the campaign, why are you allowing Mr. Brady to consider as an option for the S&L a tax increase?
He has thrown out a lot of different possibilities and discussions we've had. We have people that are experts on what a tax is. I would refer you to Richard Darman, who was the head of the OMB, and he's the guy that defined that very well up there with the duck test on the Hill. And well, I'm just saying I'm not prepared to say what I think on it right now till I hear from it, because the more I discuss it, the more you all go out and say this is something that I'm considering when I'm not. It hasn't come to me yet. But I've been around for a long time, and I don't remember hearing people talk about the fee that went into covering the FDIC or FSLIC as a tax. I don't remember people writing that before, but not trying to get into the fight anymore right now. I'll be back. Yeah, Charles.
You've mentioned ethics in a number of ways, and you've talked about the value of service this year. The last 2 days, we picked up the headlines in the papers, and they've read the president has President Reagan has a $5 million book deal. He's got a $50,000 speech deal. With all respect for the office and the former president, do you think it's appropriate to cash in on the presidency?
Oh, would I call it cashing in? I expect every president has written his memoirs and received money for it. Indeed, I read that a former president, was it Grant? Grant got $500,000. That's when $500,000 really meant something. I mean, you know, so I think there's plenty of tradition that goes with presidents writing memoirs and being paid for it.
But you've also talked about perceptions. Is there a perception problem here?
No, because I think there's been a long history of that, and I don't think it's ever been challenged as inappropriate. Yeah.
Mr. President, would you try to clear up the continuing controversy over the reported disagreements on abortion between your nominee for Health and Human Services and yourself? Are you in sync? Is he in sync with you? Does it matter? Do you have to be absolutely in sync as long as once in office he would support your position?
Well, I think that last point is the important point, but also we are in sync. And so I have a person who has stood in front of you all when I nominated him and said that, and I have no reason to think any different. Yeah.
Yes, President, 2 moments ago you talked about no new taxes pledged, the idea that you'd like it to be a four-year pledge, and that does appear to be a softening of language from the campaign. I wonder, has any of Mr. Darman or any of your advisors told you, changed your mind about the duration of that pledge, revenues needed, and so on?
No, that hasn't changed my mind anything in the last few days of talking like that.
Yeah. Mr. President, we've heard a lot about your position on abortion this week because of Mr. Sullivan. Are you planning any initiatives from the White House related to abortion, or are you going to wait and see what the Supreme Court does, number one? And number two, as a person who's always, from what we know, had the financial and emotional resources to know that you could raise your children comfortably, do you feel any awkwardness about telling other people whose situations you don't know how they should run their lives?
Not when it comes to the question of life. I do feel an awkwardness in terms of having been able to take care of my kids when they were sick or raise them properly or something like that. I feel a certain privilege. I feel a certain, I'm very fortunate in that regard, and I know a lot of people aren't. But on this issue, I think we're talking here of principle, and I sure would like to put the emphasis on adoption, and that means the broader acceptance of that principle.
Are you having any White House initiatives, or are you going to wait for
I think probably wait, but I have been pledged, as you know, to an amendment, but I'd like to see the Supreme Court decision as soon as possible.
Mr. President, a Tehran radio report this morning seems to indicate that they are rejecting your statement of a week ago today that good news would beget goodwill. While you didn't specifically mention Iran by name in your speech, what would your message to them be on relations, and what would your message be to them about helping get the hostages out?
Well, I would make a broad appeal, transcending Iran, to anybody that can be helpful to get the hostages out. Perhaps, I haven't seen the wire copy, but perhaps they're... if there is such a story by them, maybe they're saying, well, look, we're not holding our hostages. And I'd have to say, well, from our intelligence, our information, that's probably correct. Probably correct. In terms of the future, there was a period of time when we had excellent relations with Iran. And I don't want to think that the status quo has to go on forever. But I do think that the renunciation of terror in any form and a facilitating, to the degree they can, the release of the hostages would be a couple of good steps they could take. Yeah.
Follow up, Mr. President?
Follow up on that.
No, you don't get to follow his question. And then I hear.
Mr. President, reaching out.
It's ground, sir.
You spoke frequently about reaching out to blacks, that you want that to be an important goal of your administration. This week, the Supreme Court issued a decision that may kill many of the minority set-aside programs that have been so helpful to blacks across this country. Does that concern you? Are you worried about these programs?
It didn't kill all set-asides, and it didn't kill off affirmative action. I have been committed to affirmative action. I want to see a reinvigorated Office of Minority Business and Commerce. I want to see our SBA program go forward vigorously. And so I would say that decision spoke to one set of facts. Richmond, I believe it was. But don't read into it. I will not read into that. A mandate to me to stop trying on equal employment and on affirmative action generally. Yeah.
You said during the campaign, Mr. President, that you would roll back taxes on capital gains if elected. Now, as you begin to look at the budget numbers, is that going to be a promise you can keep when you make your submission to Congress, or is that no longer affordable?
I hope it's affordable. It gains you revenue. We got a big argument with some people about that. They don't want to go back and look at what happened in 1978. It gains revenue. Now, I know we got all kinds of bureaucracies around here that don't agree with that. But that was discussed in the campaign. I'm convinced it will bring in additional revenue and in the process create additional jobs for men and women. So I would like to see it a fundamental part of whatever we do. Now, if your question is, can I get it done, that's something else again. But I want to see it done. There was an issue in that campaign where there was clear difference. That was one where there was clear difference. The opposition was saying, my opponent is proposing something that will cost the taxpayer $30 billion. And I'm saying it'll create jobs. And indeed, I've seen estimates by intelligent people thinking it'll bring in revenues in excess of $4 billion. And so I'm going to keep pushing that because I know it's right. And I ran on it. Yeah, right.
Mr. President, once more on the pay raise. You portrayed yourself as a latecomer on the issue who has no real power to affect it. But point of fact, I believe that you do have the power, if you want to, limit the pay raises that would otherwise automatically go to your own staff. Will you do that, number one? And number two, do you think both houses of Congress ought to vote on it?
Well, I think in the best of all worlds, where do I
get?
I'm a fair-minded guy. I think our chief of staff has tried to hold the line on increases in hiring people, and I think you're all aware of that, and I think he's done a very good job on it. I don't know how the law affects the staff in terms of automatic increases, but there's a nice little problem that if you do go forward with automatic increases, is there any money? Now, that has to be appropriated some way, so we'll have to talk about what we'll do. What was the other part of it?
Do you think both houses of Congress ought to vote on this issue?
In a perfect world, in a world where we're starting over, I'd have to say I do. But that isn't the proposal that's up there, and it's all or nothing. And in my view, I've told you where I come down on that. We got time for a couple more because it's 58.80. This thing is buzzing away up here. Yeah, go back.
Mr. President, a few minutes ago on the answer concerning the hostages, you indicated that Iran was probably not holding the hostages. Did you mean to say that we believe that Iran exercises no control over the people who are holding the hostages?
No, I mean to say they are not holding the hostages. Do they have any control? You can get varying degrees of intelligence on that, various assessments as to how much control they have over Hezbollah or these families or whoever it is. And also, you got different groups involved in the holding of these hostages. But I'm glad to get a chance to clarify it, because unless the information I have is wrong, Iran itself, the government, is not actually holding these people. And if they were, You know, I would just reiterate my view that the way to improve relations is to let them go. Give these people their freedom. They didn't do anything wrong.
And a follow-up, Mr. President. Do we believe that Iran can exercise influence to gain the hostage?
I think they can have influence. Yes, Jerry.
You inherited a budget from President Reagan that calls for something like a 2% real increase in defense spending. In the campaign, you seem to think that maybe zero real growth in defense spending would be adequate. Deficit pressures. Do you think there's some room for reduction in the Reagan defense budget to fund some of the other programs like the SNL problem that you've got to worry about?
We are wrestling with that problem right now. I'm committed to a strong defense. I did say certain things in the campaign that fit into our flexible freeze concept. And so I will have to address that with some detail on February 9th, and I will. We got time for just a couple of more. This is it. 36 minutes.
Just so you know, that education was the main way to deal with drugs.
Yeah.
Isn't that backing away from the certainly there are other things in education to deal with the problem.
Absolutely. And I was surprised when I read that some interpreted what I said as for suggesting that interdiction is not important, or cooperation with foreign governments in terms of eradication at the source is not important. They are very important. My point is, we are not going to solve the problem of drug use in this country through interdiction alone, through cutting off the supply alone. And a larger component of the solution lies in education and in that whole demand side of the equation, law enforcement at home, these things. Last one here. Look, this is the follow-up.
Yeah, it is a follow-up. But, Mr. President, how much money are you going to spend on drugs? Is it a major problem that you say it is? Certainly education is just one very small part.
It's not a small part. It's a tremendous part. The federal government can spend some on it, and the private sector's got to spend enormous amounts. The media has done a good job in terms of pro bono advertising, and that's got to be enormously stepped up. So it has got to be a tremendous increase, not only on the money, but the emphasis on the educational side. I do want to see find a way to step up the total funding on anti-narcotics. And I want to go back to what I said on Bill Bennett, because this question of cabinet rank and whether that shows less an interest in narcotics troubles me. You will see me side by side with Bill Bennett in putting the proper emphasis from the Oval Office on my determination to do everything in the government's power, federal government's power, to eliminate this scourge. Last one, Carl.
Mr. President, you and your aides have talked about the need for a fast start, and you've talked all week about ethics and about bipartisanship, and yet the week has been marked by unexpected controversies over Dr. Sullivan's views on abortion, and then the SNL issue, which is sort of self-inflicted. Are you finding it harder to control the agenda here than you thought you would?
No, I just get a preview of coming attractions, and it's been lovely, and it's going to change, and I know it. But no, I think it's been a wonderfully harmonious week, and these are just little ripples on the surface of an otherwise calm pond.
You're not concerned that if you just talk about things that everyone approves of ethics, just about everyone approves of bipartisanship, isn't there a danger of people saying that there's not much meat behind the words?
There's a danger of that, yeah, but people are realize that you've been here 4 days of this week, or five is the fifth day in office after the weekend, and they understand that in things like foreign policy area that it's prudent to have a review. They understand that we got to get our people in place, and so there's some danger, I guess, Carl, but I wouldn't say an overwhelming danger. I mean, we'd just go forward if we just sat around and did nothing except be pleasant to people in the Hill or something. Why, I could expect that would grow a little old for y'all, but we're going to. I think we set a certain tone and certain outreach, and then go forward as soon as these specific proposals start up there, whether it's on education or anti-narcotics or on foreign policy or on some bilateral foreign visitor coming in. There'll be plenty of time for controversy and plenty of time for lively debate on substance. But I would simply say that'll follow pretty soon. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.